Do you think we're going to have a quorum? I sure hope so too. Without you, what are we going to do? Going to try to move toward the center, depending on how many actually show up.
You must have a high metabolism. You wear shorts all year. Did you work out today?
Not yet.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
gotta
be. Those are winter shorts. Kirsten, how many are we expecting tonight? Okay. Great. They're on their way.
Whoa! I haven't signed it yet either, and either has Will. Do you know Will?
I just met him.
He's a good guy.
Great.
My district. The father of my great-grandchildren was born today, many years ago.
Okay.
23 years ago.
That's great.
Thank you.
What was his name again? Will?
It's actually James Wiggs, but his name is James William Wiggs, but everybody calls him Will.
Now have a quorum. for all but one of the agenda items. So we could take care of some business while we wait for another member, or we could wait a few more minutes. All right.
Hey, John.
Hey. How's it going? It's okay. You can be Jim.
All right. Well, having a quorum, we'll go ahead and call the meeting to order at 6:03. First item of business is review and approval of minutes from the December 9th, 2019 meeting. Is there any discussion on the minutes?
I enjoyed Mexico.
Welcome home.
Motion to approve.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
And the minutes are approved. Item B, we have our distinguished commissioner here with us to recognize Aaron Young and his many, many years of service. It's weird to have you sitting over there, but well, welcome.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. So in 2007, Aaron came to the Planning Commission, and he spent the last 12 years of his life donating his time to the county to make things better in the county and being a part of this commission. And, you know, the task that you guys take on is absolutely no small feat. You guys have to deal with a lot of things and pour a lot of things through the strainer to kind of get to the commissioners for recommendations. And what it does is it's a valuable asset to us as commissioners to have you you all here and to recognize you for your three terms. You know, and by law, three terms is that you have to term out. And,
you know, that's a good law.
So it's basically the Aaron Young Stein County Planning Commission 2019, just a little token of appreciation for your years of service to the citizens of Stein County. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Well, we won't be offended if I don't stay to listen to everything.
Well, no,
after,
no, 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 no.
After your speech, speech.
We need a little speech.
You can still be in the audience.
You get to stay at the end.
So I did a little quick math. Assuming you missed two meetings every year, you came to 120 of these.
It was a lot.
Yeah.
A lot of extra ones. I did thoroughly enjoy it. I will miss it, but I won't miss it every day. Hopefully, I know it's a good hand.
Yeah, thanks for your input. It was always
your service.
You are going to leave, yeah.
But it, Chair,
yes.
Can you indulge me with one more thing?
Yes.
I would like to also welcome James Wiggs,
excellent,
who basically is the that will be taking the place of Aaron. So I was up on the Heights in District 1, so we still have a full contingent there. So I do appreciate that. Again, the time that you have to do this.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, welcome.
Yeah, welcome.
Fellow graduate of the same class in Ag Force.
Oh, really? Excellent. That's great. And what?
Class
28?
Yeah.
I was a class 38 graduate.
38.
Yeah.
He lives on the family property up on my family's old property up on the Heights.
Oh, wow. There's a small world around here.
Uncle Ann, anyway.
Okay. Yes, thank you very much for coming. There are cupcakes.
We're going to cut out of here as well.
Okay.
Thanks
for coming.
All right.
Yeah. Yes, thank you.
Bye,
see ya.
This is an honor.
All right. He didn't even stick around for the cupcakes. He really wanted to leave.
Does anybody prefer vanilla? I know right now.
How have you been? Yeah, good to see you.
We're almost done. Vanilla or chocolate?
Yeah. I don't think I've seen you since last year. Time flies.
Vanilla or chocolate?
Chocolate's fine.
Sorry I'm taking so much time. I really just wanted... I thought we were going to be celebrating.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I want a chocolate then, too.
Great.
And the vanillas are over there if you want.
Okay. All right. Important things taken care of. We will move on to the next item, which is to elect a chair and vice chair for the coming year. I have been happy to serve as chair. I would be more than happy to pass the baton. Are there any nominations?
Well, I think you did a great job. Another year would be great.
Do you want to do it again?
I'd be happy for somebody else to do it.
Vicki?
Ryan. I nominate Ryan.
You accept the nomination?
To be chair?
Yeah.
I can be chair if I can be chair.
Okay. What'd you say? You accept?
Sure.
Sure.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Oh, you're the boss. Sorry.
I think you're stepping into a role there. So we have a nomination for Ryan Kelso to be chair. And did we have a second? We did have a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Congratulations. All right. His nomination for vice chair.
I nominate Carl Blum.
Second. He's not here.
I know.
Does he need to accept?
Carl?
They don't need to accept. Okay. And there's a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
And who seconded?
I did.
Who nominated and seconded?
Oh, no. I nominated.
Yeah.
Randy seconded.
Randy seconded. Okay. We have a new chair and vice chair. Congratulations. I will I'll go ahead and turn the meeting over to you. Do you have your agenda? Okay. This works well because I'm recused from one of the items anyway. So we are on item number 3, which is an opportunity for the public
comment period. So this is a point in time where anyone from the public can bring any matters that are not on the agenda forward to the planning commission. And each person would have a limit of 3 minutes per person to discuss anything that is not on the agenda with the planning commission that they would so choose to. Is there anyone from the public that would like to discuss anything that is not on the agenda for today? Hearing none, we'll move on to old business. Hearing for CPA 2019 001 Riverstone Ranch comprehensive plat map amendment. Turn it over to staff.
I'll step out of the room.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, so I think I have this is an old one, mm-hmm. So you'll just want to replace the content of the hearing with that. But otherwise, it should be the standard form.
I'd help you out if you could
introduce self.
Nah, don't worry about that. You already have.
Okay. The purpose of the hearing is for the Planning Commission to hear testimony and take action relating to
CPA 2019-001 Riverstone Ranch Comprehensive Plan Map Addendum. All persons wishing to be heard at this public meeting should sign in on the sign-in sheet near the entrance to the room. Staff, if you've got a report on the application, maybe work towards delivering it to us. Before we begin hearing from public comment, are there any written materials that anyone wishes to submit without speaking? Hearing none, the board will now begin to receive public testimony on the application. Please be aware of the ground rules for providing your testimony. All speakers must speak into the microphone and give their name and addresses. Each speaker will have 2 minutes to provide their testimony. If there are a large number of speakers, which doesn't look like there will be, including many who are part of a group or organizations, a representative can have up to 10 minutes to speak for the group as a whole. All comments should be addressed to the hearing body, should be relevant to the topic at hand, and should not be of personal nature. Unruly behavior such as booing, hissing, or harassing marks is prohibited. The hearing will conclude shortly thereafter. After the testimonies have been provided, are there any? Oh, I guess to start with testimonies. So, if you have any representative like to speak?
Thank you. Good evening, Clay Gatens, on behalf of the applicant, Riverstone Ranch. First of all, just as an initial matter, I understand that this has been continued a number of times, and so the commission may be well familiar with the background and facts, so I'll try to keep some of my comments brief. On behalf of the applicant, representative other than myself or the entity, Mike Taylor wished to be here tonight, but because of the scheduling, he had a conflict, as well as his attorney, land use attorney, that's also an attorney with my office, Michelle Green, who prepared much materials. So fortunately or unfortunately, you're seventh string on this, but I understand it's been discussed prior, and so at this stage, I would just ask if the commission has any specific questions or issues that I can address from the commission.
Does anyone in the commission have any questions?
Well, it's my understanding that this piece of land, how many acres is this?
Approximately 63 acres.
63 acres. And then on either side, there's housing, the river, housing, and the highway. Is that correct?
That is correct. To the east and to the west, there's housing as well as some industrial uses. And then to the north, I believe, is the highway, and to the south is the Wenatchee River.
Okay. And and the client is asking that it be reduced to a RR 2.5, is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. I just needed some clarification on that.
I think it's actually, you had north and south, or river and the
highway. River's north of the
highway. Excuse me, river's north of Wenatchee River, the highway too.
So to get you familiar with that, Vicki, if you take Praise Fruit Stand, mm-hmm. it's directly across the street.
Okay.
And goes from the highway down to the river, slightly to the west towards the city, mm-hmm. where the orchard quits, mm-hmm. and then goes along the Wenatchee River. There's some housing developments and acreage that comes up and borders that, and then goes all the way down Lone Pine Road.
Okay. Okay.
If that helps at all.
Maybe there are some maps included with the materials that the covers are that was submitted from my office on June 21st. So I'll give you all copies of them. But if you go back to some of the materials, there's quite a bit of mapping.
Okay.
What I would say for the direct question, just a general summary of a couple of high-level thoughts, but I think these are comprehensively addressed in the application itself as well as the subsequent submittals. But from a big picture perspective, I think one thing that I'd like the commission to take note of is that staff is absolutely correct in that the application does need to conform with the Road Management Act, and specifically a WMAG or Washington Administrative Code that administrates that. And there have been some submittals that have suggested that the application isn't compliant with the relevant WAC, which is 365.190.050. And I think that it's really important to kind of look at that from the applicant's position, and I don't believe that staff counters this position or has taken a position on it one way or the other, is that the county's process of looking at comp plan amendments, the language of the WAC says that they really should, not shall or must, but really should be done, not in a piecemeal, parcel by parcel fashion, but on a countywide basis. And this application, and that is exactly what the county has done in this case. The county has asked for applications on an annual basis. This application was timely submitted in late February of 2019 for that, actually 2018, for that annual review. It was submitted with one other comp plan amendment proposal that was ultimately approved. So the county is looking at these through an annual process and collectively with any of the comp plan amendments that come in and not on a parcel by parcel, piece by piece basis. That said, the WAC that controls here doesn't prohibit absolutely and categorically looking at a parcel by parcel review. It says that the county should have an annual process, which again it has. But even if the county was looking at this on a parcel by parcel review, I think it is important to note the geography of this parcel. It is, as the staff I think correctly comments in their report, a bit of an island in that it is surrounded by residential uses and zoning and the river and then the highway. And so I think that also makes it appropriate for the event that is being sought. And then lastly, the WAC really looks at whether or not the land being sought in this case to be de-designated as agricultural land, whether it has agricultural use or a significant agricultural purpose. And there's a series of gating non-exclusive factors that could apply. The materials that have been submitted, as well as the most recent submittal, I think are instructive in that they address every one of those and show why the applicant satisfies those conditions and most importantly, why this particular feature is not of significant agricultural use based on soils that are not necessarily ideal for air production. So, broad summary. The application is consistent with the WAC's requirements. The county's process to look at an annual review is consistent with the WAC. The applicant's perspective, and then the supplemental materials that they can break here go through all of the non-exclusive or non-exhaustive factors, looking at whether or not the land is of significant agricultural use. And the applicant's position, all
Anyone else have any questions for Clay?
I was in conversation this week with one of the other planning commissioners that was not able to come tonight. And he was taking a look at the property and indicated to me that it looked like that should not be part of my decision-making process, but that there were older pear trees on it. It looked like it was in a frost pocket that, as I am an agricultural or an orchard myself, I'm finding it personally harder and harder and harder to farm and actually make a living doing so. And I believe very strongly in the rights of a landowner to be able to do with this property as he sees fit in order to live out the dream of having a retirement income. That's not any of my business personally, but I do want to keep that in mind as I look forward. And it's the GMA part of it that we're concerned about. And I'd just like to get a little bit more feedback from you guys. I have not been present the last couple of meetings because I was gone. And I just want to make sure that I'm hearing what you think.
Well, from staff's perspective, I am not going to stand on either side of the fence, mm-hmm. which is ultimately being left up to the planning commission. I mean, I reviewed what was submitted, and as I said in my staff report, in reviewing the comprehensive plan, the Illinois County Code, it's complicated because agriculture is a use that is permitted everywhere, and so is residential. So, again, you know, I find it compatible with what is proposed, being that there are smaller parcels right next to it that have houses. Again, that it is really the only ag property there, and then it gets into timber. And but again, I mean, as I just have mentioned, you know, we do have that GMA requirement, and as like I said, you know, we should be looking at them cohesively, not an independent parcel. That is, I guess, where I am. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, but it does, in my mind, actually make it cohesive because it's the standout property to begin with. Mm-hmm. So,
from my perspective, I see that it follows all the criteria from the county, with the smaller parcels being on each side. Riverside to the east. You go to the west, you're looking at just taking it on those river parcels that are less than an acre, some are more than an acre. Then you're going right in Safeway where they're building huge apartments. Leavenworth is sprawling, and it's going to sprawl in my mind. And for the things that Clay had mentioned, there's going to be more development in Leavenworth, period. And being in my business, I get numerous phone calls every single week on people looking to move to Leavenworth area. And for RR 2.5 on that acreage right there is, they're not asking for 1 acre, they're not asking for a huge development. Obviously there's not sewer or anything out there yet. And I don't see a problem with it in my mind. I think they've done everything. I looked over all their applications. Everything seems to be in line. I didn't really notice anything that would go wrong to approving this application myself.
One brief response, if I may, to Commissioner Malloy's comment regarding the trees or the pears. Quality of the production, for lack of a better term. The Growth Management Act, in looking at the de-designation and then they're implementing WAC, so kind of trace that through, actually requires that as one of the non-exclusive factors to look at whether or not that particular, in this case, orchard is of long-term commercial agricultural significance. And and they give a bunch of factors about that, and one of those is whether it's prime and unique farmland soils, meaning that the soils then generate or weight to the quality or the abundancy of the crops. And as the applications that we've submitted in the record before this commissioner needs to adequately consider for compliance with the Growth Management Act, the mapping of the soils show that it's LH sandy loam, that the production is not that good, and it's declining. So I think that your question is directly relevant to analyzing the requirements of the WAC for purposes of Growth Management Act compliance. And those materials in the record show, and have, to my knowledge, haven't been challenged, that it's that's one of the factors that demonstrates it's this particular orchard is just not of long-term significant agricultural impact. And it also doesn't have any specific unique varieties. So if that helps, the discussion is on page 4 of the recent submittal of yesterday's.
Thank you, Clay. Are there any other people from the public like to speak? Please come forward to the mic and state your name and address.
Marty Fallon, 12275 Village View, Leavenworth. The Growth Management Act and Chelan County's comprehensive plan have goals for preserving agricultural lands, resources, and open space. This proposition goes against all of these. The GMA and comp plan state dense residential areas should be in the urban growth areas, and this is not urban growth area. And that idea of sprawl is what really worries me. Sorry. The applicant argues that pairs are losing money. Therefore, this development is for economic benefit. But benefit to whom? As we take out orchard land, what about the ag industry, the employees, the warehouses, and the loss of agriculture? The applicant argues that there is a demand for housing. Well, that's true. But this development is for large homes, most likely adding to the abundance and perhaps the majority of second homes without full-time occupancy in the Leavenworth area. Not fulfilling the need for these houses would not fulfill the need for affordable or workforce housing, as stated in both the GMA and the comprehensive plans. Alternatively, and I'm not an orchardist, if pears are not profitable, could this be kept ag and put something else in? Apples, grapes, some other crop. And I know nothing about soils other than I have a garden, but that's it. That comment on sprawl really, really worries me. That is what I think the plan is trying to have dense, consolidated housing. And not this just filter out. You can't accommodate it every time.
Thank you. Welcome.
Thanks. Dwayne Gaynor, 11670 Riverbend Drive in Leavenworth. One question for staff I can ask. Were the comments recorded and put from 2 months ago? Do you have copies of those previous comments and a summary of what we testified to last time?
Not with me, I don't know.
We have had.
In the past.
We've reviewed them in the past, yeah.
I'm just thinking we have a new potential commissioner, maybe has he seen those documents?
Probably not.
So it may, the reason I'm asking is, do I need to say some of these things again? So, as I mentioned last time, I am from an orcharding family, and Keith owns the very land that my grandfather orchard farmed for years and years. And I recognize that pears have their issues. In fact, the Friends of Leavenworth Board met with a number of pear orchardists about 2 weeks ago. and trying to partner with them and how we can support that industry, because it is such an endemic value to our community. And we recognize pears may not be the best. However, having said that, I think there's fairly new orchards right across the highway on the same sort of dirt that was recently planted. And so some orchardist, maybe it was Rudy, I don't know, actually has sees that dirt is still valuable. I don't think that's a real strong position to hold, because it has been useful for many years. I'm also concerned about representing that the land is sort of like it's by itself. It isn't. On the other side, Rudy has a number of orchards. On the other side of the river, there's also a number of orchards. When you look at the aerial view, which I do because it's near my home, I see it's an orchard land. And to me, and even to the value economic benefit of Leavenworth, the facts of having orchards nearby is incredibly important, because people don't want to come to Leavenworth just to see a Bavarian facade. They actually come for the fact that it is an agricultural area, it's a forested area. So we believe, certainly from many of us that live in Leavenworth, that could be problematic if we suddenly start pushing the sprawl away. As I mentioned last time too, this is not an urban growth area, and the whole GMA is to follow urban growth so that the services are there. And because of that outcrop of land, if you see it from the aerial view or you drive over that hill, that is not a natural place for sewer and those sorts of things to happen. There's a natural boundary that happens there, and that's to us rather troubling. I'm personally troubled to see that the wisdom, I think, of the growth management group from that letter that was included in the staff's packet. I think there's some insight there that we should look at as a community. And one of them is we should not just do piecemeal. And I am actually supportive if the commissioners say, you know, we need to look at this at a broad place and make a decision that's dependent upon what do we want to see for the future. That to me makes sense in making a choice. But I don't think piecemealing is effective or wise. And 62 acres, that's a lot of land. It really is an incredible piece of land, and it flows right into the river. So even though we don't know what the future will be, the likelihood is there will be septic there, and there will be need for water. And that potentially could be an issue, even for that developer. We're concerned about that. And I think, as I mentioned, we really should take the warnings and heeding of when they say should. They don't mean must, but they're giving us a warning sign to say, consider this as a concern. And that's what I encourage you as the commissioners to do, to at least take a concern. And maybe in the future, look at this as a broader picture. But piecemealing it to me is troubling, and potentially could create GMA, that group, whatever their organization is, they may come back and say, hey, we have problems. I wouldn't be surprised if there would be appeals to this, if there are such things allowed, because it feels troublesome to make the piecemeal. And let's see here.
Need to wrap it up.
So. Pardon me?
Need to
wrap it up. Well, I'm Friends of Leavenworth, so I kind of have 10 minutes.
Okay.
Anyway, as far as the benefit, I think that there is a limited number of houses, maybe 100 if they do what there are some of their plans potentially could be, as the city of Leavenworth apparently provided comments to the community. But I think we really encourage you to consider the long picture view and look at the benefit more than just that individual farmer who we value and I as a farming family value, but look at the bigger picture of the long term of how this could affect our community. Thanks for hearing our concerns, and hopefully you know I care very much about our community, and I fought hard to make sure that the future, your grandkids and great-grandkids, have something that they want to be, that want to stay in this community. So thanks very much for your time.
Thank you very much.
Sure.
Is there anyone else from the public who'd like to speak? Does anyone have any additional comments?
Okay.
Any clarification needed from the board?
We mentioned last time we got together that this was an island, and I wanted to address that. We've tried to make sure that, or we've done our best to make sure that there aren't any islands, and either fortunately or unfortunately, this property borders other R2.5 and R5 and RW, so it is not an island. Just wanted to point that out.
Thank you. Does staff have any additional comments?
No.
There being no further testimony, I will close the public testimony portion of this hearing. It is now in the order of the commission to discuss matters and for the commission members to make a motion for discussion.
I'll make just, you know, from all the testimony, and I appreciate everybody's testimony, and seeing the application and seeing the surrounding, like Jim said, seeing the surrounding areas, and I understand sprawl and everything, and I understand density, but this is RR2, and there's RR2.5. RR 5 acres all around the county, and I live in one out in a rural area that's much further, and I know other people that have RR 2.5, and they're close to towns, Cashmere being one, Leavenworth being another, and then orchards, and I understand taking and trying to preserve our orchards and everything. But our orchards are being ripped out all the time throughout our whole valley, and housing is going in, and it's something that, you know, the county wants to see growth, the cities want to see growth, and it's part of the UGA, and I know the UGA is not out there yet, but allowing it RR 2.5 there is not dense. It's what's in that area. I mean, you're looking at 63 acres with roads and everything that would have to go in would be no more than about 20 homes. RR 2.5 into 63 acres.
It's 24 if you.
Yeah, but you got roads, setbacks, and all that.
With the setbacks, the road structure, it can't be any more than that. And I don't know. Somebody mentioned 100, but I don't know where. 100.
The city of Leavenworth, in their letter to you, I think had that number. 103.
Well, I don't know what they were talking about, but that's not consistent with what the application came in at RR 2.5. That doesn't equate to anywhere over 100. With all the road structures and everything, it's about 22 at tops. And
would each property be allowed to have an ADU?
I'm sorry?
Would each property be allowed to have an ADU? Doubling the number of homes there?
Yeah, sorry, the public is
go ahead.
Closed.
Oh, sorry. Public testimony, yeah. I spoke out of turn, sorry. Answer that question, I'd have to go through the county codes to find that out. But what we have to remember, you guys, we are a volunteer board. We're here to make recommendations to the county commissioners, and then you'll have a chance to go to the county commissioner meetings before they make a decision. So we're just here to make recommendations. And what we usually do, we always take, and is it consistent with the zoning? Is it consistent with the surroundings of this particular property that we're actually doing? And everything that's there right now is, in this particular one, in my mind, what I've read, what I've seen, is yes. And that's what we have to go on for. We're here just to see the rights of a property owner. So if someone else, if I own that property and I want to develop it, I would go through the whole scenario of doing all the permitting and making sure that it was the right decision, and it's going to go through this process, it's going to go through the county commissioners for discussion and their final approval. So I'm just seeing everything that's been laid out on the permit, and I've seen it passing everything that I've seen.
So I don't know if it would be helpful if staff provided some insight on the City of Leavenworth letter as well as zoning allowances. So the calculations that were put in this letter, you know, we have 63 acres. They're using the cluster subdivision criteria, which allows you to typically get higher density. However, you do have to dedicate at least 70% of the overall parcel as untouched open space.
Open space.
Open space, yeah.
Yeah.
They typically, you would multiply that by 150% to give you your rough density of how many lots you can have. However, we do have lots of little criteria that would have to be met. Typically with lots, the minimum lot size is determined by the health district because yes, this would be on septic systems. The city is using up to 200%, which would be added bonus density, which may not actually be what they would be proposing if this actually goes forward at all. As of now, again, we're only looking at changing the zoning. We're not looking at future development because who knows what it's down the line. So I just wanted to add clarification that yes, they did say, you know, 51 houses or lots approximately could be put here. Yes, every one of those lots, the way the zoning is currently, can have a residential accessory dwelling unit. Again, that's not to say that they will, but so this is kind of, I'm hesitant to say worst case scenario, but this is, you know, high end of the spectrum. Because again, we will be having to have a review from the health district for water, for sanitation. So that will be, you know, reviewed if an application ever does get submitted for this. I don't know if that adds clarification to the public and the commission.
Thank you. Point, do you have any motions or?
Yeah.
I can give a motion on ZTA 2020-001. Whoops, excuse me. CPA 2019-001 Riverstone Ranch Comprehensive Plan to approve the application that's been submitted by the owners.
Second.
Any discussion, Mr. Board? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion passes. Next on the agenda, under new business, hearing for ZTA 2020-001, repeal of resolution 2019-85, a text amendment to Chelan County Code section 1222.020, plat alteration. At this point, we do not have any public in attendance, so
so this is basically what is being proposed is to repeal a resolution that was passed last year for altering plat alteration. And so the language that we reviewed last year and then went forth to the board did not get final review from the prosecuting. Oh, yeah. I should probably invite Jordan back in here for this.
Oh. heck with him.
Giggle.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
welcome back.
When everybody started leaving, I assumed that it was over.
May continue.
Oh, I got everyone.
Oh, sorry.
Randy?
Randy stepped out.
Randy's out looking for you.
Oh, was he looking for me?
Oh, yeah.
He just looked out when you came in this way.
He'll come back eventually.
Yeah, I don't think he got lost.
He should be back. I hear footsteps. We have public.
Yeah.
You may have gone to the men's room.
I think you did.
Off the record.
Yeah. We could ask him to wait.
I guess I'll read the script. The purpose of this hearing is for the Planning Commission to hear testimony and take action relating to hearing for ZTA 2020-001, repeal of resolution 2019-85, a text amendment to Chelan County Code section 12.22.020, plat alterations. All persons wishing to be heard at this public hearing should sign in on the sheet near the entrance to this room. Staff, would you like to give a presentation?
Yeah, so again, this is a text amendment to last year related to plat alterations. The resolution that was passed was found to not comply with state code under RCW 50.17. Specifically related to the language stating that the amendment was not related to any of the surveying components would be approved through the administrator. Subdivisions do need to go through the hearing process. And the way that that section was written was confusing, kind of implied that it did not have to do that process. The county has been reviewing them all that way, but to remove confusion and make sure everyone knows what the process for subdivisions is through a hearing examiner. That would need to be corrected. And also, under state code, it does require that plat alterations are done with a drawing. So by saying that an affidavit could be recorded was inconsistent because that's not a drawing. So that is why we're bringing that forward to you tonight. And if you have any further questions, I think just the repeal of the resolution will just turn the code back to what it was before. So it does meet all the criteria within.
What sparked the need for the change?
So when we got our first one in under this review criteria, it was brought to our attention from our prosecuting attorney's office that this was not consistent and we don't have the ability to basically override state code.
Consistent with state code?
Yeah, that this code that we adopted last year wasn't consistent.
Isn't it true that the administrator doesn't have expressed authority to make that kind of decision?
Yeah, so on subdivisions, it's a process that needs to go through the hearing examiner. And while staff was still doing that, it doesn't read that way in the code, so that's just something that needs to be clarified.
What is the discrepancy between the state code and the current code?
That it says it can be approved by the administrator, but it has to be approved by the hearing examiner. And then it also, the affidavit is not a drawing, and the state code requires a drawing.
So when this is repealed, will it be redrafted, or will there be no changes?
So when this is repealed, it will go back back to what the code was before we made the change, and then we'll bring forward a new text amendment.
Okay. Any kind of a timeline for that?
Not at this point in time, so.
Okay.
Just kind of wanted to get this cleaned up first. We have a moratorium on this at the moment, so this will satisfy the moratorium, and then we can spend time looking at new code language. And I'm happy to answer any questions you guys might have.
What's the moratorium on again?
The moratorium is on the resolution, so while the moratorium is in effect, the resolution doesn't apply currently. So right now, it's like it's been repealed almost in a way, but now we have to go through the formal process of repealing it.
So we would pledge tonight, will a new one be ready by next month?
Okay.
Will a new one be ready by next month?
Not imagine the new code would be ready by next month.
So my moratorium would continue for an undetermined time.
Didn't we do this to try to make the plat alteration a little more people friendly? Is that what we're trying to do?
Yeah, so that was the attempt with this code revision, and that's still the desire of the department, is to find a solution to do that, but it just doesn't work the way we thought it would.
So the way I kind of read all this too is if there was going to be a complete revision to the lines and everything, a surveyor would have to come back in. But if there were no line adjustments or anything like that, a surveyor would not have to be brought in to resurvey that.
So the way that the code ended up being drafted was stating that an affidavit could be done instead of a new drawing. So it did kind of eliminate the surveyor part, which was part of the intention, but the problem that kind of arose is that state law requires you to have a revised drawing.
Okay, and then that could be approved by the administrator, correct?
No.
Okay.
It has to go through the hearing examiner. So
it does,
that's kind
okay.
of the two parts that...
Yeah, I thought I read something in there that it could be approved. Something could be approved by the administrator, but
that was part of it. That was what we were trying to do.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's not allowed.
It's really hard to make things easy.
Sometimes. Good intentions.
So are we done with the meeting? Can we vote on this? Or?
I think we need to. We've got public here. So is there anyone that would like to submit any documents or elements regarding CPA 2019? Yeah. So.
Thank you, Chair. I felt like I should be here on account of, you may recall last spring when this originally came up, there was a proposal. I suggested some changes to that proposal and we subsequently adopted based on the things I brought to you. That was enacted by the commissioners and became the county code as of when they passed a resolution sometime last summer. The appeal period for that is long past. There's a 60-day appeal period and nobody appealed it. Everybody seemed to be happy until recently. I don't know what happened, but somehow this came up again, and Susan got involved, and suggested that it's not consistent with state law. Now, I'm not a lawyer, she is. I've been involved in the subdivision business since 1969, when the original Subdivision Act was passed, it's now Title 5817, and I've been working with it practically every day since, so that's like 600 years or something like that. And so, very familiar with what's required, but it's always been a problem for landowners. Let me back up a little bit. As the process has evolved over the years, there are more and more notes put on plats and short plats, and I've objected to that for 40 years. because if the ultimate outcome is if you want to renew one of those notes and one of those notes is outdated or something and doesn't make any sense anymore, you can't remove it without a plat alteration. It's a big pain in the neck. I'm a professional land surveyor. I've done hundreds of them. And I can tell you that nowadays there's probably a minimum of $5,000 to do a plat alteration. Because I can't just take the old plat or short plat and revise it and assume all the surveying is good. I can't do that. That's not ethical. It's not legal. I can't put my stamp on it and say this is right. I have to do a whole new survey. That's the way it is. As opposed to just doing an affidavit like when you guys recommend approval and the commissioners pass, that's maybe a couple hundred bucks. It's easy. And it's on the books. And I mentioned this before last spring when we could adopt this. I adapted that from the Okanagan County rules. It's been on the books in Okanagan County, which is subject to the same RCW you guys are, for I don't know how many years, forever. And it's never been a problem. It's an easy and inexpensive method. Now, I'm not saying that it's not entirely consistent with RCW 5817. Maybe it's not. But the county has already adopted this regulation. Nobody appealed it. It's on the books. I don't know why we need a moratorium. There's some crisis that's coming up that is causing a big problem. Nobody's ever objected to a plat alteration, in my experience. There's other things in 5817 we don't pay any attention to either. For instance, there are timelines in 5817. It says that a short plat will be approved in 30 days or returned to the applicant, or unless the applicant agrees to an extension. 90 days for subdivision, bone plats. We don't pay any attention to that. We just ignore that. So being absolutely consistent with 5817, is that a big deal? My plea to you is just a common sense. This is easy. It's on the books. The commissioner don't continue in this moratorium, nothing's going to happen. Life will be good and inexpensive compared to 10 times the cost to do a full plat alteration and new survey. So, answering any questions you might have of me, I think you are a citizen here.
If this was to be repealed, is there a alternative that would be consistent with county prosecutors' view that would be less than $5,000?
Yeah, Jordan, this relates to mostly taking notes off plats that don't apply anymore. The statutes are really interesting. You would think that if you move the boundary lines around in a short plat, for instance, or a plat, you would think that would be a plat alteration. And common sense tells you that, right? But the boundary adjustment provisions in the same statute call that a boundary adjustment. You don't have to file plat alteration. You can do a boundary adjustment. It says platted or unplatted or both. And so there's lots of inconsistencies like that. I just don't see the need for this moratorium and cost landowners a lot of money. As a surveyor, if I did survey anymore, I'd be lining my pockets, thank you. But, for doing very little, but anyway.
This gets my attention. I today picked up a 16-lot subdivision. I picked up the Mylar from my surveyor. There are many notes on it, and the idea that to modify any of them, nothing's easy, but we can try to make things easier. And the idea that you need to completely redo the survey if...
Going forward, there's a message here. And the message is don't put all those notes on the plat. Most of them just repeat what the code says now anyway. But those codes and laws stand for themselves. And the argument always is, well, we need to protect the public. Well, in the long term, you're not doing that. You're doing the opposite. You just cost more money. So that's a aside from this immediate issue, that's the longer term issue. So
I'm in agreement because I've dealt with many plats where there's been notes of various items on there that no longer pertain to it, and I've had to go through this process, and it's been very lengthy and timely, I mean, for clients that I've dealt with, and staff, neighbors, and having to take it to everyone that lives within the subdivision and stuff to approve. Each time I've done it, I've had no objections from anyone within the plat alterations or, you know, having to go through that process. So I've never had problems on any of them that I've dealt with. And I've done at least five, maybe six of them in the last 6-7 years. And or lines that get placed on there that were placeholders to show that something could happen, but not really saying that something had to happen there, but just showing it, and then having to go through the route of, well, it has to be here because it's shown on the plat, but all it was doing is to show that something of that size could fit on the plat was the reality behind some of that stuff. So I'm in agreement.
Just one final thing here. Just before I came over here, I spent a couple of hours just looking at the county codes from around the state, trying to find out if there were other counties that had done the same thing. I didn't find anything exactly the same, except Oklahoma County, of course. But there's, for instance, just across the river in Douglas County, they suggest that if you have, I think that they're talking about more like Scrivener's errors or something, you don't have to actually go through the plat alteration process. That can be done on an administrative level. So that's similar, but that was the closest I could find. Most of the jurisdictions or counties around, at least eastern Washington, you don't even address it. There's not even a section on plat alteration. So I won't take up any more of your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks. Where is this in the process? Do I understand that the commissioners have already put it?
No. They've got a moratorium.
Okay.
So
we are recommending repeal.
Yes.
And they will enact the repeal.
And then, yes, they will.
That's the process.
Yeah. Yes.
And the idea that you have to resurvey something, redo the drawing when none of the actual property lines, none of the drawing is changing, and you're changing text in a footnote,
yeah.
That's silly.
Doesn't make sense.
Yeah, yeah.
So you know,
there's a way around that.
Just to clarify, for staff's perspective, mm-hmm. and really, this is more of a procedural thing tonight, and the intention is to bring a different text amendment back for your review addressing. So it's not lost upon us that the process needs to be looked at.
Wouldn't there be a process where you figure out what the resolution is before appealing something that I think this board approves at the moment?
Well, okay. the other point is whether you just ignore it as a county, and as it appears many counties have done.
I think potentially part of the problem is if you took the route of just ignoring it and going through this process that isn't consistent with state code, then the people who come through and use it, if they have, you know, a neighbor who is upset or anything, it opens them up for appeal. So now they're wasting time and money in that process because we haven't done our, you know, homework here and given them a process that works. So I think that's why it's important to get this, you know, cleaned up and then come back with something that is going to be beneficial to, you know, the public as a whole, and then that, you know.
I wouldn't want to appeal a potential tool that's there for something that's...
No, I'm saying, like, if you're opening something up, if they, like, because I think we all are aware that sometimes neighbors don't get along, and they have tactics when they hear their neighbor is going through a process, and they get a notice email that says so, and they're like, oh, I'm going to make sure this doesn't happen to them. So, I think, you know, that's
easy.
I mean, it's just easy for them because you know, I think that's really kind of the issue, is just looking at this more as this is administrative, kind of get this cleaned up, and then we can come back and look at a new text amendment.
I would like to hear from Susan. You've picked up on this, that it was didn't comply with state. In your reviewing that, do you have any suggestions on how we can
get around it?
Yeah, go with the intent of what this was and still fall under the WAC or the code RCW?
It's a state law. Well, I think the state law is pretty clear. And I think that with respect to short subdivisions, you have more freedom. And the problem with the amendment that was enacted with the resolution 2019-85 is that it applied to major subdivisions and short subdivisions alike. And so even though you could have a little bit more freedom under state law with the short subdivisions, you couldn't do what that resolution was enacting with respect to major subdivisions. And so the whole resolution has, even the simple thing, like Kirsten has explained, the simple thing is, while we're working toward making things easier for the customer, you know, let's just do a straight up repeal of the one thing that was wrong and get back into the amendment drafting process. Mm-hmm. So, and as Dan has mentioned here, you know, just changing a note on a plat should require an entire new drawing. But, you know, again, we're running up against what the statute says applicable to major subdivisions. We have that freedom, possibly with code amendment and plat alteration processes with short subdivisions, but we can't really, we have a lot less freedom with major subdivisions. So if we had adopted a code provision that had said, with respect to short subdivisions only, blah, 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 you know, we might not be here doing this repeal, but the code amendment applies to all major subdivisions and short subdivisions. So if you wanted to alter any kind of subdivision, the county code provision that was adopted, I think it was like July, runs up against the requirements of state law. The cleanest, neatest thing to do is just to do a one-to-one correspondence where you have the inappropriate resolution, repeal that resolution, go back and do a comprehensive resolution that deals with short subdivisions and major subdivisions, and has a clarity with respect to the plat alteration process for each one of them, and what you can do to free up things in one regard. You should be able to, like I said, make it more convenient, less cumbersome, as possible. So, I just think it's a matter of what is the fastest and cleanest way to just get back to addressing the problem. And once the repeal is enacted, what was in place for plat alteration regulations in the county goes back to being the main way to do it until we get another amendment before the commission and then before the board of commissioners. So, you know, we don't, and to address this issue of, well, nobody's appealed it, the role of the prosecutor's office is to make sure the county code is not illegal. And that's one of the many tasks in the prosecutor's office. The prosecutor's office doesn't have an appellate deadline to meet when it wants to advise the county commissioners that something is not consistent with state law. And the county commissioners, for their power authority, they can take any provision of the county code at any time and request that the planning commission review a potential amendment to it or adopt it. Entirely new code section on an entirely new subject. So, you know, as long as the land use, you know, there's no appellate deadline that I have to meet in order to say to the commissioners, we need to fix this, or the commissioners can point out to themselves, oh, we need to fix this. That's the applicable. I do think that with respect to ignoring the state law, you run the risk, as Christian was pointing out, of affected landowners in the neighborhood
It sounds like it, from what you were saying, it worked for short, but not for long plats.
Well, I think that you have, as a local jurisdiction, a permitting jurisdiction, I think you have the ability to have a different plat alteration process for short subdivisions than you do for major subdivisions.
Why wasn't the moratorium then just put on the long and left open for the short?
Because the other, there was more than one problem with the, there was more than one problem
legislators propose a bill that would change that in state law.
You know, there's some aspects of state law that, you know, would take a legislative amendment that the county can't really pull out.
But is that something we want to work toward so we can enact change in our county?
Well, I think that, you know, it's something that the commissioners, you know, that's a great conversation between the planning commission and the county commissioners because you know, you have that opportunity to have legislative updates and liaison meetings with the local legislators. But I think, you know, we know there's a problem, it needs to be solved, but the first attempt at solving it is not the thing to go to. It's not the go-to resolution. So tonight, the real only issue is to repeal the resolution 2019-85, and that allows the county commissioners to lift the moratorium and go back to using the previous version of the county code with respect to plat alterations. And then in the meantime, the staff, legal counsel, Mr. Beardsley, I would welcome him to submit all sorts of suggestions. Can all work on drafting something that doesn't run afoul of the RCW and can be, you know, delineated with short subdivision process from the major subdivision process, and then get something back that can be reviewed and you guys can produce something that's customer friendly.
What would you say as to the other instances that were pointed out in 5817 regarding timelines and such as that?
Well, I think that there's some things in 5817 that, and I'm not familiar with the question, I don't look at that. But in general, there are things that under 5817, a local jurisdiction is allowed to enact local regulations that further expand on a particular provision of 5817. Now, so there may be some things that are also amenable to local regulation. But I don't think that in general you can disregard the language of 5817. Violating 5817 is, of course, misdemeanor, by the way. You know, I think that there is a big difference between allowing someone to have a longer period for application review or application submittal than by not recording a properly surveyed and drawn plat alteration. Finalization of the moving of, say, easements, lot lines, title, things that affect title, things that affect environmental view, all those kinds of things, to have them finally recorded versus, you know,
but that was one of the
date of something happening versus actually having something being a final decision. But so that's, I think the consequences are different.
That's what was pointed out in this, is that if it was alterations that didn't involve lot lines and such, that they were allowed. That's what we were trying to do.
Right, I understand what was trying to be done.
But you just stated that they were, that it was lot lines and
such, yeah, I mean, the way the resolution 2019-85, the way it's written, it goes beyond just allowing someone to change a note on the plat. It's not specific to just changing a note. Too broad.
Oh, I see. So we will hope, it appears that we will be able to make a change, but just it will be more limited.
Right, and I think that, you know, nobody in the county, including the prosecutor's office, wants to see people spend money that they don't have to, or take time that they don't have to spare. Right? And there's one thing true about life that we want to do is nobody has enough time, nobody has enough money. And that's, but I do think that, you know, it takes a little bit more of a comprehensive review between multiple partners who want to do this.
Has problems come up in other jurisdictions or something with these elements?
Well, probably because they all just go by what the RCW said. I mean, I haven't heard from anybody, but I don't. We can't do plat alterations by ourselves. We can't do plat alteration by affidavit, and we cannot do plat alteration without a public hearing. If, you know, those are clearly two things that are problematic.
Because I'm just based on some experience I've had on ones that I've dealt with that have had things that just don't exist, that are notes that for elements of companies or whatever that have gone out of business that have notes on there for whatever, telegraph companies, you know, whatever, that just they no longer exist, and then there's notes on there for them, and even though that there's no easement or anything, but gives them rights and...
The, oh, I know. I mean,
so this comes up a lot. Yeah.
And that's why the notes on a plat are kind of a different animal compared to the rest of it. But you can't have a resolution that applies to everything and anything that has to do with plat alterations when you're only trying to address the note situation. I understand the frustration with the two note notes.
So if it addresses only the notes, whether it's a short or a major subdivision, that's possible to do.
There's some possible alternatives. Now, but I don't want to. I don't want to speculate either.
Okay. Okay. I was trying to simplify it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, one concern is this just going to sort of get slipped to the bottom of the pile and not get dealt with? Because it's not a major thing in the scheme of things, but it would be really nice.
Well, I think, you know, the one thing is we do have an applicant who is, you know, been waiting on this for a year, so they definitely have a vested interest in keeping
it. A squeaky wheel?
Yeah.
Good. There's a squeaky wheel. And my second question, I don't want this to sound critical, I'm genuinely curious, but is there a process to review code changes for consistency with state law prior to the commissioner's voting on it?
Well, actually, this particular resolution kind of has an interesting history in that Mitch Reister, had a different revision to the plat alteration code provision that was reviewed by our office, and it was given the OPDOPI. The attorney that did that was no longer with us. She's great, and unfortunately, we don't have her with us anymore. But anyway, so Mitch Reister and April Hare reviewed that, and then it went back up to changed, and what was adopted was not what was legally reviewed and given an okay. And Carl did not put it in that loop about the language change, and so I'm missing some of the facts probably on how that happened. But what was adopted may have been perceived by some of the folks with the planning staff as being legally reviewed, but they inadvertently didn't know that they had not been legally reviewed. And that's not a normal thing that happened. So then it got adopted by the commissioners, then they got our knowledge also.
So that's it slipped through the cracks.
I would say that this was a unique situation. I'm not talking about adopted, and I don't think that's the norm.
There is supposed to be a process in place in which everything is fully reviewed before. Okay.
Okay, no more okie dokies.
No more okie dokies. Well, it's a little bit frustrating. I don't like it, but I'm prepared to vote to repeal it.
Well, I'd like to make a motion if we're ready. And let me just speak it out, and then you guys see if it's consistent with what we've been talking about. I'd like to make a motion to repeal Schlang County Resolution Number 2019-85, and staff come up with a better solution, which we have discussed to where it makes sense for applicants.
Second that.
Any other discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries.
I move adjourned.
Second.
Well,
motion carries.
We have discussion. From David, if David has anything to discuss.
I'm sorry, I didn't see that on there, David.
Susan, thank you. Thank you for your time. Yeah, thank you very much.
You must have wanted some discussion on websites last night. Well, we have the new SEPA materials for Wheeler Ridge. Everything known to man on Wheeler Ridge is now on. SEPA stuff is on the website. So if you go look at it, you'll see a very expanded list of all the SEPA stuff for Wheeler Ridge. We have a new snow load, place the link on snow loads, so you can find out how to calculate your snow loads for anywhere in the county. And so that's a real nice tool that our building commission put up there.
Where do we find that on the website?
On the community development website.
Okay.
And we've done a lot more expansion of our permitting, so we're trying to do more smart gov work within our website, and so that's moving that direction. So you're seeing a lot more reporting capability and a lot more just more reporting capability on the website. So on the website, you'll see a lot more reporting.
Can it get away from the email strings of somebody having a day where they just go through and check all the boxes, and then you get like 40 emails saying that this has been done, this has been done, this has been done, but they were actually done like months ago?
Oh, they're coming back and they're signing off on
SmartCap. Yeah, all the different.
That just happened recently.
Yeah, because I get inundated. I mean, it's like you hear nothing, you know it's already been approved and passed, and then all of a sudden you get all these emails that completed, or it's been checked, and then.
I think what's happening is the to-do list that they have at SmartCap signing off on, catching up and signing off on, and automatically sending an email.
Yeah.
It's just outdated.
Very outdated. Some of them, like, look at stuff saying, getting inspections, and I know they already have their occupancies and they're living in their houses.
Yeah, we're getting a lot more innovations and a lot more advancements, so stay tuned. Thank you.
Move adjourned.
We are adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you. Good job, Ryan.
Yeah.
Just taking over spur of the moment like that.
Jumping.
Yeah.
Do you want to do it? Do you feel like